You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley. We also welcome to the programme Frank LaBeouf and Shaka Hislop are here. Only one place to start, really. Old Trafford. Manchester United beating Southampton by 9-0. Extraordinary stuff from Solskjaer's side. That win put some level on points then with Manchester City at the top of the table. City, though, of course, with a couple of games in hand. Craig.
Well, it didn't give us much to talk about really in the end, apart from the goals. I mean, it's quite incredible. 9 goals. Can't fault United at all. You can only beat and do what you have to do. This was on paper, although Southampton have fallen off a little bit and they've had injuries. It was a tricky tie for them, but it was a tricky tie that turned on a dime in, what, 7 minutes?
No, the opening minute.
Was it that minute?
Jankovic, it was that early on, yeah.
My God. I mean, what a challenge. I mean, I'm reticent to, and I won't criticise teenagers about...
A 19-year-old making his debut.
Yeah, I won't criticise teenagers about performance because, you know, that can a bad performance or a mistake, that can happen. But this is just not a challenge that you would see at any level and say... Did you think that was okay?
Right.
I mean, it's just not. I mean, I don't know what's happened to the young man.
Just
here.
Adrenaline, nerves, the whole combination.
You just don't make challenges like that. I mean, it's so over the top. It's and then, you know, for what, you know, nearly 90 minutes. Then they're chasing their tail, and Man United completely smashed them. So that it changed on a dime. But United can only do what they had to do, and they did it particularly well.
Frank, just on that incident, on the red card, as a veteran player in that team, or just any sort of player in that team, how do you react with him at half-time, full-time, or then going on this week?
You have to go and to him and just say to him, don't worry, you know, it can happen, you're young, and if we have a bad result, it won't be because of that, you know, even if you don't think what you say to him, because it's very cruel. It's we all know that he must be devastated right now, because he really think that it's because of him, and of course it's because of him. But he's 19 years old. He lost his mind. I was really speechless about the event and what he did, because it could have been worse. You know, I thought McTominay was really injured. It would have been even worse for Jankovic. So. You know, I think also the players and the mature players should have stuck together and say, okay guys, we have to fight. And it's not an excuse because somebody was red carded after 1 minute that you have to lose 9-0. You can be punished, but I think you can fight and maybe lose 2-3-4-0 maybe. But Manchester United did very well. I don't like what Martial did and the penalty that he got, because I think he dove before and McDean, the ref, shouldn't have given the red card to Bednarek, because that was really stupid. So I think it happened what happened, but nobody should hammer Jankovic, because that's a rookie mistake, as we say.
But for Manchester United, as Craig said, they saw blood and they went for it, Shaq.
Yeah, and fair play to them. That's they did what is asked of them. And I have no complaints about the running up of the score. I have no complaints about anything from Manchester United. They got the job done. Southampton are the ones left to pick up the pieces, to lick their wounds. Ridiculous sending off, played a big part. Listen, I Southampton can get this back together. They've done it before. Other than that, what can you say?
Well, it was a great game for United in many ways, and one of them was that as soon as they got the 2 or 3 goals, they were able to play the game. Even though they got 9 goals, Dan, they were able to play the game at a pace that they wouldn't have normally had to have played if it had been a full-blooded 11 against 11 with all these games coming thick and fast. So that's the other aspect of it, the fact that he was able to make changes, they were able to control the game, they could play at a training ground walking pace and get the extra goals because, as you know, City, I think, were plus 14 at one point ahead of them. So that's pegged that a little bit as well. But as to go back to Frank's point, Ralph Hasenhüttl, that's the second time. The other game was Leicester.
Yes.
9-0. Yeah. That's... He's had plenty of plaudits, and rightly so, for what he's done in the main. However, as Frank Leboeuf just said, there is no excuse for getting walloped. They're not playing Barcelona of 2011. They're not playing the Galacticos of Real Madrid and their pomp winning all the Champions League. They could still have made it difficult, but they made it way, way too easy. And I know they've got injuries to key players. I know in the end they went down to nine men, although the Bednarek was late on. But you have to Frank's point, make it way more difficult than what they did. Maybe he'll say, well, you know, we were trying to play a game that we're still trying to get something out of. OK, I can buy that a little bit. However, you've got to make it more difficult than it was. And they made it so, so easy for Man United. And they obviously capitalised on the points. But the sending off was the second incident of the day that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, let's save that, shall we? Because I want to incorporate that with the Arsenal chat. Right. And let's move on to Arsenal, who it was a strange game against Wolves today because they were in complete control of it. But in the end, losing by 2-1, the sending off at half-time, very much decisive in the result. Before we talk about that incident in particular, Craig, just the overall performance. Arsenal come out, sack it, suppose after 20 seconds. Another couple of chances. You think they're going to run away with this?
He was about to go into half-time and say, guys, that's been really good, Arteta. That's been really... I know Wolves haven't had the season that we thought they might have had. They've lost players to transfer. They've lost players to injury. They've changed the shape. I understand all that. They're nowhere near the same team. However, I thought this was a really good performance up until that sending off. I mean, Saka should have scored after 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Then they had a goal ruled off for about Lacazette being about 3 inches offside. And then they did score. Then Pepe hit the crossbar as well. Leno had little to do. They controlled it in the middle of the park. They're just about to go into half-time, have their cup of tea and get their juice and do pat themselves on the back and say, let's go and kill this game off. And they lose the... I can't remember the sequence exactly, but they lose the ball. They get pressurised. Louise is a little bit out, they're a little bit disjointed, and before you know it, Wolves are through on goal. This is where the people at IFAB, and we've seen it recently with the Rodri incident, the offside, and the Premier League going to try and change, get IFAB to alter the interpretation, not so much the writing. The bringing down of a player, i.e. David Louise bringing down the Wolves centre-forward, his name escapes me, that law was brought in to stop the cynical challenge. So if you made a clear attempt for the ball, you would not be red carded as well as the penalty.
Yep.
If you pulled a shirt or you were clearly not making an attempt for the ball, you'd be red carded. This was, to everybody's eye on the replay, an accident. It was accidental contact. He's trying to get out the way of the player. It's a penalty. Don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with the law and the way it's written, that the referee has to go by the letter of the law, and here we have a player who's making no attempt to win the ball or make a challenge, gets sent off, changes the complete complex of the game. I have a big problem with that.
The referee, Frank, I suppose, would say, look, I have to do my job by the letter of the law.
Which is what I said.
As much as you'd like to see me use common sense here, where clearly it's not the cynical challenge that this rule was introduced to eradicate, he has to do his job, doesn't he? And that's the issue that we have here.
Yeah. And I felt bad, you know, when as soon as I saw the action, I said, what's going to be the ref reaction? He has to give him a red card, where definitely there is no intention whatsoever to put down the striker in that action. David Luiz only runs and touches the opponent who fell. Okay, as Craig said, penalty, no problem. Nobody has a problem with that because there is a real touch, even if Mr. Arteta thinks the opposite. But there is no clear intention to put him down. And so therefore, for me, there is another red card. And you have to be psychologically better than maybe the rules or the law to say, okay, I don't give the red card because I killed the game.
Yeah.
He killed the game. As Craig said, 44 minutes, Arsenal was on top of the world, you know, playing fantastically, having chances to score more than one goal, and destroyed in half a second because of a strange law, I would say.
Jack?
Listen, I was still a part of the football advisory panel with IFAB when they were drafting this law. And the spirit of the law was, we were called on to readdress the dog show and the triple punishment. And the spirit that we were trying to go to is that no one wanted to see the professional fouls again. That would remain as a red card. If a player was clean through and somebody just rugby tackled them and no real intent to play the ball, that would be a red card. But if a defender made a genuine challenge for the ball and just missed, no one thought that should be subject to the triple punishment, as it was called at the time. Now, I'm not sure what happens outside of the advisory panels, how that is explained to the referees. But certainly the referees involved in the advisory panels always point out that referees on the field are often called on and do use their own judgment, their own common sense, their own interpretation. So just to say, well, I'm going by the letter of the law, I think it's a little bit disingenuous. And I'm in agreement with Craig and Frank here. I think it's a penalty. I don't challenge that at all. I think David Luiz is trying to get out of the way of William Jose, who cuts across him. Contact is made, penalty. But I don't see how David Luiz trying to avoid that contact or that contact being incidental can be interpreted by Craig Paulson or anybody else as an intentional act to deny the goal-scoring opportunity. For me, he got it all wrong.
Yeah, it's a clear. If you're making a clear attempt to play the ball, yeah. which if it was accidental contact, then clearly you're not. It's the way. And you know, the thing is that there's an argument to say, okay, we've shifted the law, as Shaq said, and they rewrote it to try and stop this sort of triple punishment. But now that VAR is so heavily involved,
yeah.
There's an even clearer way to get this to go over and say, well, okay, right, there's no cynical attempt here to bring a play. And there will be, this is not bulletproof. There would still be the odd occasion where people would debate it, just not on the ones we've seen today.
Because we saw the Bednarek as well today, didn't we?
So the Bednarek one was, he tried to get out the way of Anthony Martial. It's not even clear there's contact or enough contact for him to go over,
yeah.
And it's a clear case that Bednarek was trying to get out the way, and it falls almost exactly into the same category as the David Luiz. Now, it didn't change the course of this game, clearly, but it's another incident where I think people have sat down and written laws and agreed on laws and not completely thought it over 100%. Like the Rodri incident with Tyrone Mings coming back from a 15-yard offside position to engage the ball and then City score. Ill-thought-out plans.
Craig, Shaka brings up a good point there. When you were discussing this, VAR wasn't implemented.
Craig, of course, I'm Craig.
What did I call you?
A Shaka.
Well, I wanted to. Shaka, Craig. Don't talk nonsense.
Shaka, my name is Frank, by the way.
Yeah,
my
shut up, Frank. I'm talking about Shaka and Craig. Whichever one they are. Shaka, it's true, though, isn't it? VAR, of course, wasn't used as intensely as it is now when that law was written up.
But even then, again, When I was involved and we were looking at the use of VAR and all the recommendations around it, was every single person, whether you're ex-footballer or ex-referee, said everybody wanted the referee to go to the side of the field and look at that. That the person in the booth in Stokely Park in this instance would just recommend, hey, Mike or Craig, as the referees were today, you need to have another look at this. And they go over to the sidelines and look. how it somehow transformed into, well, this third party in Stokely Park is making the final decision is beyond me. Again, I don't know what happens after those discussions, how it's sold to the IFAB board, how it's sold to the individual FAs and the referees, but whatever happened in between those two totally lost the sense and the spirit of the discussions that we had and the recommendations that we made.
Just a word on Bernd Leno, Shaka.
Dan.
On Bernd Leno, I mean, misreads the bounce on a wet pitch. That's a red card. You take that one on the chin and move on.
Last word to you, Jules. Frank.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Robert. Thank you very much. Well, whatever. Just one thing on Martial, you know, which is strange for me. Of course, there is a contact between Martial and Benarek, but we all see, I don't know, because maybe we were former players, but I think even our viewers who watch many, many games, we can see that Martial is falling before being touched. So as soon as you can see that, even if there is a contact after, you can consider that my French compatriot is cheating in a way, like all strikers do, because I think it's completely subconsciously that he's doing that. Because they all know that at some point there will be a contact. So we force the contact, we fall down before to force the ref to give a penalty. Therefore, for me, as soon as the ref see that, how he can give a penalty on that? That's crazy. For me, it's beyond all thoughts, all knowledge about football. So that's crazy for me. Well, even if there is no consequences about that, because, you know, Manchester United won 9-0. But still, how can Mike Dean can give a penalty?
Meanwhile, significant results at the bottom of the Premier League today. Sheffield United coming from behind to beat West Brom by 2-1. West Brom in serious trouble. Can Sheffield United put it off, Craig? 10 points, blooming egg. That would be a great escape, wouldn't it? Meanwhile, Newcastle 1-0 up against Crystal Palace, but in the end, losing by 2-1. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Tuesday saw the first of the Coppa Italia semi-final first legs, Inter taking on Juve, and it would be Juventus who would certainly have the advantage going to the second leg with a 2-1 victory away against Inter. Lautaro Martinez opening the scoring for the host, but then a Cristiano Ronaldo brace would see Pirlo's side take the advantage. Let's welcome in Stuart Robson, shall we, to reflect on that. Robbo, blooming heck, Cristiano Ronaldo with 2 goals, both of them gifts.
They certainly were. I mean, the first one, Ashley Young was lazy, really, because Cuadrado was, he was the right side of Cuadrado to start with. Cuadrado made the run beyond him because he didn't see him coming. Then he grabbed hold of his arm. The referee didn't give it to start with, but VAR, someone of it should be a penalty. And I think he was right to give a penalty in the end. And it was a good finish from Ronaldo. The second one, 3 mistakes. De Vrij should never pass it backwards. He's on the halfway line. Pass it forwards. And that was the problem with Inter in the first half. Then Bastoni didn't take a good enough touch to take it away from Ronaldo. And what Handanovic was doing, I've got no idea, coming out to get a ball that the centre half was always going to get there. But you have to give credit to Ronaldo. Good first touch and the even better second one.
Yeah, Ronaldo, of course, turns 36 this week. Robbo, not happy to be substituted. Never is.
No, but I can understand why he was substituted in the second half, because it had been role reversals in that game. Because in the first half, Inter wanted to play out from the back and Juventus pressed them high up the field. They got Kulusevski to Mark Brozovic, so they couldn't play out from the back. And if they did go forward, no Lukaku, the front two couldn't get hold of it. And in the second half, it was exactly the other way around. And that's why Morata was brought on instead of Ronaldo. I can fully understand why Andrea Pirlo made that decision.
Obviously, a number of changes made to the Juventus midfield. Arthur coming out, Rabiot coming in. It just emphasises how important Arthur is, isn't it, from what we've seen over the last few days, because that midfield looked a bit weak once again.
It did to a certain degree in the second half. Arthur came on to take the place of Bentancur, who gave away what should have been a goal for Sanchez, because he got tried to get turned on the edge of his box. De Ligt played him a ball, he lost control. I think it was Vidal won it off of him and Sanchez should score. But I'm not sure that Arthur's really the player that is going to be a strong player for the rest of the season in that central midfield. Yes, he might control the play, which he did in the first half against Sampdoria, but he's another player that wants to play square and backwards all the time. So I'm not a great fan of Arthur. I would still prefer Bentancur in there.
It's interesting you bring up tactically about how things switched in that second half. Pirlo is someone that we haven't exactly given a lot of love towards tactically, but did he get one up on your boy, Conte, in the second half, Robert?
He did. In the first half, he got one up on Antonio Conte, because he said, you're not going to play out from the back. We're going to stick Kulusevski on Brozovic, who's your key player when you're trying to play out from the back. Our two wide players are going to go onto your two wide centre-halves. Ronaldo's going to stand on De Vrij. You play it forward. And if you play it forward, De Ligt and Demiral will get the better of Sanchez and Martinez. And that was the case throughout the first half. And it didn't change until sort of 15 minutes into the second half.
Robbo, looking at this with regards to the title race, how much can we read into this? I know it's a cup game, but with regards to a team that's got the momentum at the moment, because Lukaku for Inter, obviously Juventus not at full strength either. Can we read too much into this tie?
Absolutely. You can read a lot into it because it gives Juventus the confidence. And Inter once again struggled. If Lukaku doesn't, I've told you many, many times, Lukaku is key to exactly the way Antonio Conte wants to play football. He's always wanted a centre-forward that can hold it up. So they almost suck the opposition in and then they play the ball into Lukaku 2v2 and they try and play a good partnership up the front between Martinez and Lukaku. Without Lukaku, there was nobody to hold up the play. So the ball kept on coming back. So if Lukaku's not playing, they've got a major, major problem, Inter.
Juventus big favourites, Robbo, to make it to the final now?
Absolutely. I think they've got their confidence back. They played well in the first half against Sampdoria. They played well in the first half here. They've got to continue it for 90 minutes, but I think they'll have too much for Inter now going into that second leg.
And Wednesday sees the second semi-final, Napoli against Atalanta. This should be quite entertaining, shouldn't it?
It should be, because both sides have got some great attacking qualities. Insigne coming off that left-hand side. They can play either Osimhen up front or Petagna, whoever they prefer to play. They've got a good midfield now, I think, Napoli. They haven't got all their players fit, but they've got a strong midfield. Bakayoko, I think, will come back into the side. Their full-backs, Di Lorenzo, will try and get forward down that right-hand side. And, of course, Atalanta. You're never quite sure what you're going to get with Atalanta. They play some brilliant football. If Sabata plays up front, he's somebody that wants to run down the sides. Muriel, he's much better when he comes on as a sub, but he might start the game. Ilicic is as clever as you can possibly be when he's on that right-hand side, coming in on his left foot and playing little 1-2s. So I'm really looking forward to the game. Over the two legs, I think Napoli may just have too much for Atalanta.
Wow, Robbo, why?
I just think that Atalanta have been inconsistent in recent weeks. I've seen them play really well at the start, where they were beating teams 4-5-1. Then they got a draw against Genoa. Then they got a draw against Udinese. They had a really poor performance at the weekend against Lazio. And if they're going to provide one of those performances in either of these two games, Napoli will just about have enough for them.
Stuart Robson, as always, thank you very much. For a lot more on Italian football, you can check out our YouTube channel. Plenty of videos available there. Be sure to go and subscribe.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Meanwhile, Frank, sources have told ESPN that Neymar's on the brink of signing a brand new four-year contract. Considering it's Neymar and everything that normally surrounds him, this seems all rather straightforward.
Well, you know, I don't know what I should think about that new contract, you know, about him, because I don't know what to think about Neymar. I mean, Neymar is a huge, talented player, but what he showed in 3.5 years since he signed for Paris Saint-Germain is far away from what I was expecting from him. I can talk about Cavani. I can talk about Ibrahimovic. I can talk about Marquinhos doing or who have done something fantastically for the club. But I'm still waiting for something for Neymar. It's why maybe they sign him a new contract to see what he can do. But the only thing is I can think is of is the fact that nobody can sign Neymar with that amount of money that he's asking. Nobody can buy a new a transfer to get him, and nobody can pay him. So he's the only club right now who can keep him, we can afford to pay him the amount of money he's asking, is the Paris Saint-Germain. But now, you know, good for him if he gets the money that he wants. What we want and what the fan wants, it's mostly, you know, performances. The Champions League for Paris Saint-Germain and a consistency in his game, which I think we didn't see yet.
Even that tells you, if he signs, that tells you all you need to know, isn't it?
About what?
About his desire. About his ambition.
Well, Frank's right. No one can afford the sort of contract, or no one will be willing to pay the sort of money.
Nobody can afford it.
Who's going to pay all that money for Neymar?
Even Frank wanted to get out of France.
Yeah, but where's Come he going?
They can't even get anybody to put the damn games on in France at the moment. Nobody wants to show them because nobody wants to pay for it. They don't want to pay what they want for it. And he wants to stay in the league because it's easy street for him. And okay, you can throw in the slice of the pie that is the Champions League every year, and that's a big if. Because we've seen how difficult it's been for them, final or not, last year. But if it's all about the money, fine, stay. Get your money. But if nobody else can pay you that amount of money, you could always take a smidgen less and go somewhere else, back into Europe's elite league somewhere, and really show some desire. But that's not... I don't think I'm being rude about French football. I think that's kind of where it is in the whole pantheon of European football. He knows that. I know that. Frank probably knows it. It's great for Paris Saint-Germain if that's what they want. But come on. Winning the French league and the chat, you know, come on.
Frank, you know, he's had a litany of these injuries, hasn't he, that have come at key times. He did help the side get to the final last year in the Champions League.
Whoa.
Yeah, but that was very special, I have to say, you know, and they lost in the final. I mean, I'm pretty sure the Paris Saint-Germain doesn't get Neymar to be a runner-up. They don't care. They want to be the champion of the Champions League. They are teased by the Marseille fans for like 25 years, even more, because Marseille is the only French club to have won the Champions League. And I agree with Craig, the Ligue 1, it's because of Paris Saint-Germain, none in the world because of Paris Saint-Germain. So it's why maybe they keep Neymar, because marketing-wise, it's very interesting. Because you can sell rights, TV rights, you can sell whatever it is, shirts, and make money about it and about him. But in terms of, for Neymar, in terms of, a strategy, I don't think playing in France is something relevant and enough for when you have a career. When you want to have a career, you play in Spain right now, or you play in England, or you play for Bayern Munich in Germany. That's it. But yeah, Paris Saint-Germain is going to be a big, big club when they're going to win the Champions League, and maybe some other clubs will follow. But right now, I have to agree with Craig. The Ligue 1 is not a big league.
The Italians will be after you again, Frank. Meanwhile, let's talk about Marseille, your former club, and what's going on there. Villas-Boas offered his resignation and was then suspended by the club. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. He wanted to resign, and they in a way accepted this the fact that he can leave. But right now they want to know, because the players want him to carry on. So we don't know what's going to happen. It's related to the fact that Marseille signed a new player yesterday without his permission. Well, they asked him. He said, no, I don't want that player. And he signed him. And he read in a newspaper this morning that the player signed. And, well, I guess his ego, but I think he's the right ego for me, said to him, you know, enough is enough. I don't have the choice of the player that I want, and which is something for me crazy. In England, I guess coaches, they're also managers, so where they decide for everything. In France, you have somebody above the coach who can decide to buy a player without your permission. Who makes the team at the end of the day? And if you buy a player, or if the club buys a player that you don't want, if you don't play him, what's going to happen? So that's a crazy situation. And Marseille is signing right now, big, 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 crazy situations.
Yeah, Frank, that crazy situation, of course, is epitomised on Saturday. We talked to you, didn't we, about the fans going to the training ground, throwing things at the players, setting it on fire. What have been the ramifications of that?
Well, 16 or 18 people have been arrested right now, and we don't know what's going to happen. I didn't have any confirmation for some players who wanted to leave the club. As I told you, the last time it happened, Dugarry and Pires left the club like months after. I don't know what's going to happen, you know. They have to play one game tomorrow, and they have to play what we call the Clasico as well against Paris Saint-Germain. And I don't know what is the state of mind from the players. The club, the head, the owner wants to stay, that's for sure. But what's going to happen now with Mr. Villas-Boas and that situation, I think it's going to be a nightmare. And as I told you, who wants to play for Marseille with that situation? If Mr. Marcoutz, the American owner, leaves, who's going to buy Marseille? I think it's almost the death of that club. And that's so, so sad.
Indeed it is, Frank. Thank you, as always, for your time. Just a reminder, Marseille currently is sitting ninth in the French League.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Extra Time is next. Craig makes a big revelation about his beard. Oh, so exciting. You can't wait. Stay tuned. Welcome into Extra Time. Thank you for your tweets. Craig with me in the studio. Frank LaBeouf and Shaq at his slot with us as well. The first question is for you, Craig. What does his contract being leaked do to Messi's decision on whether to stay at Barca or leave? Would it have made a difference to you, or do you think that he has already made up his mind?
It would have depended who Do we have confirmation who leaked it?
No, we don't know who leaked it.
Allegations.
There's suspicions that it could be the club or it could have been the former president of the club.
Yeah, I mean, it would depend who leaked it. But I get the feeling that he's pretty much made up his mind, I think.
Yeah.
Now, what that is, I don't know, but I think he's probably made up his mind, yeah.
For Frank, the World Cup winner. This is from you, Frank. Can Portugal win the Euros and be a contender at Qatar with a fully loaded squad that includes Bruno, Bernardo, Diaz, Canelo, Felix and Ronaldo?
They have a fantastic squad. I'm not sure they're going to be that good defensively. You have to have the right balance to pretend to be the best team in Europe and confirm what you did 5 years ago now. They have a chance like many other teams, but hard to say who's going to be fit within 4 or 5 months from now. But they are definitely one of the favourites.
Shaka. Hey, Shaka, it's the first time you've been on, isn't it, since the 7-0. Will Trinidad-Tobago be in contact with you to play goalkeeper next match? I'm sure you wouldn't concede 7.
The short answer to that is no. It is a day that we're all trying to forget, Sunday, for a number of reasons.
What happened?
So the US played Trinidad and Tobago and the US won 7-0.
Oh, must have missed.
Don't explain to him now. Nobody wants to relive that.
Well, I'm just telling him the facts.
How come I missed such a big event?
It was a Sunday night. it was a Sunday evening.
Right over my head that went that game. I don't know. How did that...
me too.
How did that float past me and I never noticed? Seven.
Seven, yes. Yeah. Could have been 15. What's the worst red card that happened in a game you guys played in? Anything worse than the kid from Southampton? Oof. Anything that sticks out? Any World Cup red cards or anything?
For me, I would say Zinedine Zidane against Saudi Arabia, where we were already winning, leading like 2 or 3-0, and he stamped on the one of the Saudi Arabian players and was sent off. That was. And he knows that was pretty much stupid because we needed him and the game was already over and he was suspended for one game.
Probably his most famous sending off, I would say, Frank, wouldn't you?
That's not his most famous.
Talk about Materazzi one.
Oh, in the World Cup final one, yes.
Yeah, but I wasn't there, so I don't want to comment it.
Oh, I see. Well, that's fair enough. What about you, Shaq?
I can't think of anything worse than that Bednarek red card. Honestly,
it wasn't Bednarek.
No. Whoever it was. What was it?
Yankovic.
No, you mean as in a bad challenge like that?
Yes.
I thought you meant a bad decision, which no. I thought the Bednarek one was. Can't think of anything. No,
I don't think you're thinking. I don't think you're even trying, Shaq.
No.
To be honest.
No.
It's not.
I'm still thinking about Sunday night, Dan.
7-0.
You shouldn't have brought that up.
Frank, what was the best halftime team talk that you can remember? From inspirational or boots flying around the dressing room?
Oh, man, you should have asked me the question before the show. I would have thought about it.
Right, good, right. You think about it. Goodness, what's wrong with everyone today?
Yeah, come on. I have to go back 20 years ago for 17 years in my career, you know? And you want an immediate answer. I wish I could answer something. No,
that's,
nothing.
That's all right.
No. Oh yes.
Oh,
yes.
Oh.
We were leading 1 or 2-0 against Azerbaijan with France.
Yeah.
And Aimé Jacquet in the dressing room say, "I'm so ashamed of what I see. You all bad football players. I don't want to see you anymore." And we say, "Well, what's wrong with him?" We were leading 2-0 and we won 10-0.
Oh.
It's a record.
Wow. There we go.
So maybe he was right.
One of your most famous victories, right. I'd say, Frank. Azerbaijan.
Oh, yeah. That's another game that went right over my head.
That's another one. Craig, you must have some half.
I scored 2 goals. No, that's untrue. You have the picture. You sent me the video of that goal. Fantastic goal that you remember.
Is that the offside one?
Now, that was the one when I did a volley.
Yeah, offside.
Behind my fantastic left leg. Clear. No, that wasn't offside. Are you crazy or what?
It was clearly offside. Craig, you must have some halftime stories.
I've seen the paint getting stripped off walls.
Right.
With managers.
Now, the managers, you like, would Jim Smith be the worst?
No. Yeah, Jim could have been up there, yeah. Jim might have been up there. We were down to 10 men once at half-time. Jim went absolutely ape. He went absolutely nuts at everybody. And then he said, he meant to say, right, it's now damage limitation.
Right.
And he said in front of everybody, right, it's now lamage limitation. And everybody just started laughing. And that annoyed them even more. It's lamage, it's a bit like Southampton, isn't it? It's lamage limitation. Don't you mean damage limitation? Go, shut up! Jim.
Get out!
Stevie tells the story, doesn't he? He said at halftime at the refs, he goes, right, three things we need to focus on. Whatever the first, the second. Paul, what was the third again that I was going to say? Shaka, Redknapp, Keegan, you must have seen some.
I've seen a few. I don't remember any, which I'm sure doesn't surprise you at all.
What's wrong with you today?
I don't listen to team talks. What am I listening to at halftime for?
Goalie doesn't listen.
Yeah, clearly.
7-0. 7-0, Shaka. Shaka is depressing. 7-0.
Yes. What can Arteta do about Arsenal's discipline problem, Craig?
I think he's addressed it in the main. I mean, he went through a period where players were just making bad decisions. I don't think that was it today. It was two mistakes. Mistake to give the ball away, and Luiz got punished for an accidental contact. And then Bernd Leno, as Shaq said in the show, just does what goalies do.
that's not what I said in the show.
You said in the show that he misread the bounds. I am paraphrasing that to say he did what goalies
true.
Do.
That's yeah. true.
So I think, you know,
only a goalkeeper can do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he's got players out.
Only a goalkeeper.
And players in, so he's kind of cleared the camp pretty well.
We talked about this on the show with you, Frank. Were the Marseille fans tough to play under? Were they always as passionate about the success of their club?
I'm sorry, I didn't get the question.
Were the Marseille fans tough to play under? Were they always as passionate about the success of their club?
Yeah, it's an issue. It's been an issue for some players who played in Marseille and couldn't settle down because they were scared. They were scared of the fans, and the passion of the fan is really overwhelmed when you're not prepared. I was born in Marseille. I know those people. I'm maybe as crazy as they are, so it's not really a problem. But when you're not from there and you play with the white shirt. And they say you have to give 100%, you have to win every game, otherwise you're in danger. And people don't get that, and it's complicated for many. It's been complicated for many, many players. That's true.
Frank can't understand you.
Well, sometimes it's difficult.
Because you were reading the question out to him, and he was like,
yeah,
looking at the.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Now because sometimes, you know. Sometimes I don't understand Dan Thomas, but it's more because I don't understand English more than Dan Thomas not speaking English very well.
Final
By quick. The way, is there anybody bothered about Andre Villas-Boas leaving Marseille today?
We talked about that on the show. We don't talk about it again. Final question.
I wasn't on that part.
Well, then watch it back.
So I'm now asking
Yes,
Frank.
But I don't want to repeat. I don't want to listen to it again. I've already heard it once.
Well, I'm not going to watch it back.
You can't care about it that much.
No.
Well, there you are. Let's not waste anybody's time talking about it again. Right.
Watching the show back.
Final question. Shaka, with all the snow in Connecticut, do you think it's finally...
He lives in Massachusetts.
He does live in Massachusetts, that's true. Shaka, with all that snow, do you think it's finally time to turn on the heat? You're in short sleeves, Shaq, today.
My house is nice and warm. My house is always nice and warm.
No, I bet. I bet all your daughters are still in hoodies.
That room's warm.
No, that's just my fourth daughter. You can't explain kids walking around in a hoodie. My house is hot.
Can
my
you
wife
put
and I are from Trinidad.
Shaka.
Our house is hot.
Shaka, can you put your hand like that? Can you put your hand like that?
I can't see you, so I don't know.
So he wants you to put it below your neck. No,
like you did just before, in front. Over your, like, flat over your microphone. Show me your hands. Show me your hands.
There you go.
Show me your hands. Look how big they are. And the guy conceded goals with all hands. It's impossible. You have what's wrong with you?
They have got big hands.
Yeah, they can't even reach the heating button.
That's it. He moves quicker when they're trying to turn up the heat than he did in goal.
He's got a very great skill set for turning the heating to 62.
What's your what's it at, Shaq?
Thermostat, 56. What's
I'll be honest, I have no idea. I don't touch it.
They don't have a refrigerator in Shaq's house.
There's no heating. You don't need a thermostat.
It's just cold alone.
Exactly. That's it. Right. Thank you very much, everybody. ESPN FC back on your screen. You back in the studio with us tomorrow, Craig? You going to shave?
No.
No?
The answer is yes and no.
Yes and no.
Yes, I'm back. And right. No, I'm not going to shave. I'm not going to shave until the summer.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know. I just made that up.
Okay, good.
But think about it.
The Viking.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.